Welcome back to the Pursuit Podcast, everyone. And today I have a really special guest. Her name is Jenny Lyon Rainbow Anderson. And Jenny and I were part of a mastermind. I know for me, it was 2021 into 2022. I'm not sure if you're still there or if you have completed that mastermind yet, but we were part of a mastermind and we got to know each other really well. And I love what Jenny does for her clients and what she does in her business. And so I wanted to share her with you guys here on the Pursuit Podcast, because I know there are lots of you who are going to benefit from what we're going to chat about today and just what Jenny does with her clients. And so I'm really excited to get into this today. Jenny, welcome.
Thank you.
So why don't you start with just sharing a little bit about what you do and how you help people, and then, you know, I like to just let these things sort of roll from there. So why don't you just give us a nice little intro?
I will. Yeah. So I'm Jenny Lyon, Rainbow Anderson. I am a channel. I am a healer, but I'm also a business coach for spiritual entrepreneurs, and the energy work, I've been doing that for over 20 years now. And I actually went online in 2018. But before that, I was working just from home, you know, with people, you know, in the neighborhood type thing. So it was obviously a very different ball game to go online from working. You know, you maybe have done the same transition, I don't know. But, and then as I was building more and more success in my own business, I then decided also to coach and teach some of the spiritual entrepreneurs to do the same. So we do healing, we do all the reprogramming and the, you know, the healings that we need to do. And we also do the business together.
Yeah, I love that. I think there's a lot of people who, in the, especially in the coaching side of things, as entrepreneurs, they build something for themselves. And then they're like, people, I know for me, it was like that. I built something for myself. And then I had all these people going, how did you do that? How did you do that? How, you know, like, how did you get your stuff set up and whatever? And then before you know it, you're basically business coaching because you have so many people asking you, how did you do that? Is that, was that your experience?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly that. And absolutely. And as soon as I started to, so I was quite excited to start doing business coaching with the spiritual entrepreneurs because I moved from sort of self-development, spiritual development, that I still do that, but then into the business side of things. And it's just an evolving thing. And I just love how it evolves and how I can deliver the different levels of expertise to my clients from having, you know, embodied it myself and done it. So, yeah, I love the multifaceted
pieces. And so when you talk about like the spiritual side or the healing side, like, can you give us some examples of sort of, you know, when you think about that spiritual entrepreneur, what is, what makes them different or what sets them apart from, let's say, you know, your average, you know, online entrepreneur?
Yeah. So the spiritual entrepreneur, often what I've discovered through working with so many, often they come into business because they want to serve. They really want to help people. And I think most people actually want that. But they come from a place of kind of, I want to heal the world sort of thing, you know. And that's like a bit different to set, then to say, oh, I'm going to set up my own marketing business. It's kind of a different perspective, you know. You come from a different perspective. And then when they do that, they realize that they come online, they start doing it, and they think, gosh, this is actually more than I thought it was going to be, which we all know as entrepreneurs. Yeah. And I feel with the spiritual entrepreneurs that they're often obviously sensitive, or they might, I don't want to label people really, but, you know, they are sensitives, or they are empaths, or they're star seeds, or they come with this really higher vision mission to Earth. And it feels like they don't always fit in. Yeah. Because they're here to literally help the other people ascend. And therefore, everything that seems so natural to other people seems kind of weird to them, because they just want to heal the world and do those things. They're also having to really heal themselves and, you know, really get, not get rid, but, you know, clear the trauma and clear their own patterning so that they can become the embodied version of what they're selling.
Yes.
And I think, look, when I look at all entrepreneurship, and I feel it's the same, you can only really sell what you've embodied. But with spiritual entrepreneurship, it's almost like they can only really take that client to the depths of whatever that shadow work is, or to the depth of that clearing or a new level, whatever it is, on that deep level, until when they've done it themselves.
Yeah.
So I discovered healing and clearing and deep inner work is probably as important as doing the business mm-hmm. learning,
yeah,
if not more.
No, it's so because, true.
Yeah, because once they get really plugged in to their own intuition and really trusting that, because that's often the problem as well. Some of the spirit entrepreneurs, they get all the intuitive nudges of what to do, and then they don't follow it. And then that's where it started getting blocked, because they were meant to do it and then they didn't take action and then it didn't happen.
Yeah.
So it's about them learning to really trust their intuition and then actually act. I mean, we know this as aligned action in entrepreneurship. We know that we should trust intuitive nudges and do that. And that actually their intuition is 100% their navigation tool for how to succeed.
Yes.
And that's obviously in combination with learning all the how-to things, setting up the business, all the tech. Not that it's that hard, actually, these days, but and all the bits and understanding your email nurturing, understanding all the other things that comes with it. But ultimately, to tap into their soul and really tune into what type of offer would suit my audience most.
Mm-hmm.
So it's almost like technically I like them to learn all the ways of how they could build an online business, and then really tune into what format they should do. Should I do a low ticket membership? Should I do high ticket? Should I do both? Mm-hmm. Should I do this? Da, 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 da. And learning to trust what their intuition is telling them.
Yeah.
And that's like a key. That's mm-hmm. the key for them.
Yeah. And I think it's a key for all entrepreneurs, but I think
so as well.
When you're speaking to that spiritual entrepreneur who's, you know, a little bit more, like you said, not to label them, but is a little bit more sensitive or a little bit more on that, the energetic side of healing the world and coming from that space versus, you know, I know a lot of entrepreneurs come from a space of, I want to build this business and I want to create this kind of income and I want to have this many clients. And I, you know, there's, mm-hmm. that's a little bit, I would say, I guess more of a masculine sort of energy, you know, coming from that, which mm-hmm. there's no right or wrong, but it's just when you're coming from the more spiritual side of things, you know, there's just a maybe different ways that you kind of have to maneuver the business then. And so I could see how, yeah, just really understanding that.
Yeah, exactly. And what happens, this is something I really want to highlight this because I've experienced it myself and I've experienced with past or clients coming to me and having had coaching and other training, you know, before coming to me. So what happens is that when you put that sensitive empath or the spiritual entrepreneur into a very sort of masculine 3D kind of container of the, you know, do your, you know, goal setting and do these, you know, steps and do this, da 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 da. It's like driven from an intellectual, calculable place. But because they're intuitives, they need to have the drivers coming from an intuitive, more sort of heart-led space, which is all about service and all about how can I serve this client best and what feels like the right price. Mm-hmm. Like, this is the whole thing. Like, you could say, oh, you should do high ticket coaching, 10K, you should do 5K, you should do these ones. But actually, when I coach my clients, I'm like, so what does I teach them how to feel it in the body and then detach from the number, which is really interesting. And then they go, it's a 2K program. Okay, cool. It's a 2K program. That's what we were feeling. We didn't get attached to what it was going to be. No. And I do know that that happens in coaching generally as well, I'm sure, right?
Oh, yeah.
But it's just so intuitively led as opposed to masculine sort of structured.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's what, like, I think, like, you know, like I was saying earlier, it's like everybody needs to, I think, lead through their intuition. Like I believe that, and it's taken me a long time to actually even personally understand and trust that. I was very, when I started my business, I was very like, I wanted to hire the coach that had the strategy. I wanted to implement what they were doing because it worked for them. It's going to work for me. And then it only got me so far and I got stuck in my business. And it wasn't until I started doing the inner healing, that inner shadow work. And I want to talk about that here in a second, but it wasn't until I started doing that work, going like, and trusting myself and trusting my intuition, that everything started to change for me. Now, two things I want to ask you actually. One, I would love for you to talk about shadow work because you did mention that, and I'd love for you to give a little bit more insight on that. And then two, I experienced this and I would love to hear your thoughts on this. As I started doing that inner shadow work, everything started to, like, my business actually really slowed down, and it actually almost like, it was like I was in this void of like, you know, I was like almost like between two worlds. It was like I had been doing this like massive masculine strategy energy. And as soon as I started to tap into the inner work, it felt like everything was falling apart. But I do believe that it was actually setting me up. And so I'd love to hear your thoughts on that too.
Yeah, no, so exactly that. So what happens is that when we dismantle the matrix that you've created in your own life that is built on masculine energy, then there is the time where there's a transition of your whole, not just your mind, but your whole energetic system has to readjust to a new vibration almost, or like a new way. And that creates that void or that sort of pause, that sort of time of reflection often. And that's all feminine energy, really, you know, feminine reflection, time to pause, time to, you know, really take it in, understand what's going on, feel yourself through what's happening, and using that instead. So it's really common. Often they say with healing as well, we talk about something called a stupa. And the stupa is, if you imagine a spiral that goes from the bottom and up. We're on a podcast, I can't really show what it looks like, but it's a spiral that goes from the bottom up. And then every time you do a healing, you go up one, you know, level on the spiral, but there is a little dip, you know, before you go up to the next one. So that little dip is the healing stupa. And in that little period, that's when you detox, that's when you readjust, that's when you feel maybe a bit icky and like a bit, you know, all the stress and all the negative self-talk, all the judgment is coming out, all the things that you would have to let go of. And then you go up again. And then these dips on the stupa get less and less. It's like you go to your next level and you're like, oh, the stupa, you know, my little dip was so little this time. You know, last time it was like 2 weeks.
Or 2 months.
This time it's only 2 hours, you know. Oh, but that's kind of the idea. So my stupas now look like, I don't know, I might have half a day or a day sometimes where it's like, oh, this is interesting. So, and then I move swiftly through because technically they get less and less, you see, the more you do.
I love that. And then, so then the shadow work that we, you know, we've talked about it, both of us here, like what some examples of shadow work? Cause I know I've talked about it on the podcast before, but I would love to hear your explanation of kind of what that is for somebody who's listening. That's like, okay, I think I need this, but I don't know exactly what I'm supposed to do.
Yeah. So shadow work is all the things that we feel disgusted by in ourselves. So that could be anything from shame, guilt, anger, being a good girl, you know, sort of thing, anything to do with past things, to do with abuse or trauma, things that we have buried, things that we are not proud of, basically, parts of ourselves that we don't like. So it could be things like, I could be quite controlled. I'm not so controlling now. I used to be very controlling. That used to be a thing that I really did not like about myself. And I felt ashamed, you know, to be controlling. And so that's my shadow. So anything that makes you go, ooh, don't like that about myself, or better not talk about that, that's your shadow. It can manifest as, if somebody come to me and said, oh, you know, I really want to work on my shadow, and they say some examples, and then I might say, well, and I have a terrible headache every time that happens. So then I will actually work with them, with their migraine, whatever that is, as well as the shadow, because sometimes the shadow will manifest in the physical body as a thing, of course.
Yeah.
So this is how illness appear, you know, in our bodies. So we do all of the aspects, then the mental side of it, the physical side of it, and then whatever else needs to, you know, comes up. It might be past life, or it can be so many things attached to this one shadow as well. Yeah. You know, it's not just one. It doesn't come from one place.
Yeah.
So then we look at it from all the places, the multi-dimensional aspects of it, if you like.
Mm. Yeah. No, and it's so important because you don't realize, I know for me, I didn't realize how much of the shadowy sides of me were actually controlling my results and yeah. stopping me from actually creating what I really wanted to create. And it was like, you know, somebody said this to me, like, whatever's going on in your life, it's always you. Like, there's only you is what they were. And I was like, it's so true. And it was like, you know, when you come to terms with some of the shadowy stuff and you realize like, oh, these results I'm getting in my life are happening because I have these thoughts or I have this thing going on inside. And as hard as it has been for me, and I feel like this work is probably never done, but as hard as it has been for me to go inward and look at some of these things and bring up some of the things from my past and my childhood, and you know, there's our moms and our, you know, all, yeah. Right. And you're just like, oh, I don't want to go here. But you know, that the clearing of it, it's like when you get to the other side of it, it's so much better. Like,
absolutely.
So much better.
Yeah. 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 It's so, you know, from a spiritual perspective, we have eons of lifetimes to clear up because, well, healing was available, I would have thought, maybe 200 years ago, but there was less tools, you know, there was not many people equipped to do the work. And do you know what I mean? It's not really a big thing.
Yeah.
Now it's so available. So we have eons to clear up, as in like it comes to the surface because we are equipped, we can do it.
Yeah.
There are help, there are ways to do this now, and we're meant to do it really. So if it's pushing on in you and you're listening to this,
yes.
you're meant to just go, right,
yeah.
Okay, let's clear it up. The other thing I want to say about it as well is that people often suppress their shadow. Like they suppress the negative sides of themselves because they just want to be light and positive and happy and good, a good person. Like, you know, they don't want to say to anyone that they have these other things inside of them. So also when you look at the past and history, it's almost like your acceptability of being a good human was only based on how of a good person you were. And if you had any dark sides or any horrible sides or any icky sides of you, you were then judged and you were not seen as a light person. So that sort of lack of accepting the duality within each of us then creates a big suppression and shame around the dark side. Sounds dark side. I don't mean it like that, but you know that. And actually it diminishes our power.
Yeah.
So as soon as we release and heal and integrate the shadow, we come into full power. And actually that is what's required in entrepreneurship.
Yes.
You have to come into your full power. And that only comes with accepting, working, committing and healing the shadows and the dark sides of ourselves. And it takes a lot of self-care and self-love, you know, because it takes I remember the first times I was doing shadow work, I felt really horrible about myself. Do you know what I mean?
Yep.
I was like, really? Am I carrying around this? I look at myself as a light, beautiful light worker, amazing person. I'm not like this. So I felt really sort of icky about the things that we had done. Yep. But then, as you know, I was doing it more and more and more.
Yep.
That obviously sort of diminishes, like, you know, you don't you're like, oh yeah, it's just a part of my dark side, fine.
Right.
So you get used to the fact that you are both, and that's okay. And that this is another piece as well, I really want to add this. We sometimes measure of how worthy and how lovable we are in relation to how much light we can hold. If we can accept that we are worthy, lovable, and completely ready now for all of the things that we have within us, whether they're dark or light, that also helps us being more accepting and receiving abundance. Mm-hmm. Because we block ourselves from abundance if we think we're not good enough. Mm-hmm. So if we say, well, actually, I'm good enough, even if I have this XY set of trauma and I don't know, in the past, even if I've been a horrible person to someone, I'm still, and I regret it and I ask for forgiveness or whatever, I still am worthy of all these things because it doesn't determine my worth. Mm-hmm. And that is a big one in women.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
That's like, if you can say I'm worthy because I'm just breathing my shadow or half integrated shadow and my light and all the other bits that comes with me, mm-hmm. I'm worthy now, right? I think this is where people, when they do well, this is where they've gone there.
They've accepted all parts. They've
accepted all of themselves, plus the other things, like, you know, we have strategies and we have other,
yeah.
we have a business, you've got to have an expertise, obviously.
Well, but see, the thing is that when you can love yourself and all parts of yourself, good, shadowy, all the things, and you can feel that self-love, to me, that's alignment, and that allows the right strategies to come through. Exactly. And that allows your intuition to speak to you. And that allows you to be able to do the things you need to do in your business easier. Yeah. And that's what I discovered. Like that block you talked about when you block yourself, like I felt that. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until I started doing this work. And because the other piece that I wanted to add to that is that when you look at those dark parts, you bring attention to it, you bring it out of the hiding. And when you bring it to light, it has less power over you.
Exactly. Right. Exactly.
The ego's like, oh no, here it is.
Oh yes.
So now it can't hide on you anymore and try and use it against you, you know?
Exactly.
And that's what I discovered within myself. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, absolutely. No. So, and also that happens so often. Okay. So let's just take an example. Let's say you've had some, you know, trauma in the past or some abuse or something, and then you don't talk about it. Then you go and heal it with a healer or somebody who can work with it. And then at the same time, you bring it to the surface and you speak about it as well. Maybe not openly to everyone on Facebook, but maybe if you have a Facebook group or if you have a community where you can share your experiences, then it's like so powerful, because then you've healed the piece that feels that you couldn't control. And then you're also talking about it and releasing the shame.
Yeah.
And that is so powerful. Like, that's like, you really have done a good job then.
Yeah.
And I think people sharing their story about things that have been holding them back release a lot of their power, because then you know.
Yeah. No, I agree. And so from an entrepreneur's perspective, you know, when they work with you and your programs, like, that's part of the work that you do. There's a lot of coaches out there that, you know, teach the strategy and how to do this and that, but they're not actually taking entrepreneurs inside to do a lot of that inner work that needs to be done at some point in your journey. You're gonna run into it at some point. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, like, I mean, I almost
run into that at some point.
Yeah, I almost say there is two options. One option is to go and do all the strategies and learn everything and put your mind to it, you know, do it in your masculine. I'm not saying you have to burn out, but just follow the things, put everything in place, do it, and not do the inner work. That will take you only so far. Mm-hmm. Or you can explore both at the same time.
Yes.
Because otherwise you won't get backlog. So when you do get to that point, when you're like, okay, I can only come so far, I can see that I'm blocking myself, now I have to do the work.
Yeah.
It could just be a massive backlog. So you might as well start now.
Yeah.
You might as well. And actually, that is the piece that unlocks every entrepreneur, I'd say, to really, really higher levels of income. Mm-hmm. Because there's also belief around money. You know, many people I've worked with say, okay, well, my max salary, my max income ever was £150,000 a year or dollars, which is still a lot of money, but and it's almost like their ceiling can't be broken, because they're also programmed to believe that that's how much they can earn. So there's lots of subconscious stuff with the energy and the healings and the clearings that can be done once entrepreneurs get to that level as well. Deep in the work, clearing the trauma, doing those things, reprogramming, but also the money piece is really interesting, because this is an era of women entrepreneurs in particular, mm-hmm. where we can make more money than any women of our history in the history have done, through our genius and through what we are really passionate about. Mm-hmm. So it's a really interesting time. And so your system is not like encoded with this kind of belief, because it's not done it before. Your mother probably didn't do it, or your grandmother maybe didn't do it. Oh, there's going to be some who done it, but it wasn't the norm.
That's
so the energetic stretch to hold wealth is also another piece that has to happen, so that that person can actually hold that level of wealth.
Be able to accept it and receive it.
And to receive it.
Because what'll happen if you don't do this work, and again, I've noticed this in my own world, is that you receive a big cash income month, and then the next 3 months, it's like crickets. You got it, but you weren't able to actually hold it. You know what I mean? And so then there's all these things that you manifested that actually, you know, basically took the money, and the money, no more money came in, and then you were back to kind of where you were, right? And you're not there.
The lack of consistency. Yeah. The lack of consistency that's a reflection in the energy often. Of course, if somebody has just starting out, it's a little bit hit and miss, you know, they haven't got an audience, it's not going to be consistent in the beginning. But if somebody has been ongoing for a while and they've had consistency, and then they're starting to break to next level and they then get very inconsistent, then it's an energy thing. Often not a strategy thing, only because they already got offers, they already know kind of what they're doing, they feel quite confident, they do lives, you know, or masterclasses and things already. So
And that's where that sort of void comes in, and I think that's like a sign too, that that's where you've got some inner work to start moving into, because you've been able to create a result to a certain point, but then it kind of does this, you know, and people who can't see me, but it kind of it turns over, it kind of gets messy, and it's like, oh, there's something there that needs to be cleared. And so, you know, that's where, and I often believe too, like, you've got to start doing some of the masculine stuff as a new entrepreneur order to discover where some of the things, the energetic things that are holding you back. Cause you might not know what those things are when you're starting out.
You have to take action in order to find out what the blocks actually are.
Exactly. Yeah.
So they only come up, and it's not in any particular order. It's like whatever is coming up for you, for your plan, you know, it's individual.
This has been super, super helpful. And I think that this kind of conversation needs to be had more, because there's a lot of people out there teaching, you know, the strategies, myself included, but there's also another layer to entrepreneurship. And I've said this from the get-go, is that your entrepreneurship journey is a personal development journey. It really is.
I was going to say it's a healing journey. It is a personal development journey. Absolutely. And it comes with all those, because if you think of it, an entrepreneur is somebody who's has a pioneering sort of thoughts. They want to be free. They want to lead and sort of push the edge. Yep. So with that type of energy, that only comes with like courage, you know, making yourself better in everything that you do, finding new solutions to everything. Mm-hmm. That's living a highest potential. Mm-hmm. If somebody wants to live their highest potential, that means that anything that is holding the highest potential back needs to come to the surface so they can clear it. Yeah. That's why it's a healing journey.
And being open to change, right? Like, you know, the people, and I've seen them in my family and in my life, where they're just not open to change. They're okay living every day the exact same, and that's their comfort zone and safety, and they're cool with that.
Predictability.
But entrepreneurs, you're right. It's a certain type of person who's just like, you know what, this status quo isn't good enough for me. I need more. Like, there's more.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. I mean, the predictability, people live in the predictability because it's safe.
Yeah.
Entrepreneurs don't want predictability.
No.
We want, maybe not necessarily the thrill, but we want to really see what is possible.
Yeah.
What is possible? What's the potential of this, you know? And there, that means we live out of comfort zone. Mm-hmm. because you can't live outside of a comfort zone and be predictable. That's kind of not.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, but also it's important to say, if somebody is really happy in their zone of predictability, yeah, great.
Yeah.
It's not something wrong with that.
Yeah.
You know, that's
not everybody's meant to be entrepreneurs, and that's
not everyone.
We need all different kinds.
Yeah.
Jenny, this has been such a great conversation. How can people find you, get in touch with you, where, if they're feeling that energetic tug to kind of work through some of these things as entrepreneurs, where should they go? And what do you have going on in your world right now?
So at the moment, so look, you can go to my website and get the freebie, of course. So jennylyon.love, I'm sure you'll drop the...
I'll put it in the show notes.
Yeah. I have recently, actually, I just want to say this, revamped my membership, because my membership used to be a personal development, spiritual development membership, very valid in itself, but I've added a soul business startup category in there. So this is for newbies, the membership, but it's really exciting times. I feel really excited about it because there's so many self-development, spiritual development tools in there that they need. Yeah. But now we're just bringing in this soul business startup category, which, yeah, I'm so excited about it because I just feel it's just so right.
Yeah.
For a smaller investment. So it's actually not, it's plug in, plug out.
Yeah, you can kind of stay in as long as you want.
Plug in, plug out. Yeah.
I love that you have something for the newbie coaches and newbie entrepreneurs, because I am the same. Like, I have this special place in my heart for me, it's new coaches specifically, but you know, new entrepreneurships, because I feel like there's a lot of coaches out there doing the, like, you know, 6-figure month coaching and, you know, $1 million coaching. And there's like all of this scaling and this kind of stuff. But I, you know, the new brand new entrepreneur who's like literally just got the spark of an idea, like we need to create safe spaces for them, because that is such a vulnerable time. And you can easily talk yourself out of, you know, following your passion. And so having support, like what Jenny provides and whatever, you know, like that's the safe space where you're going to get what you need and be held during that very vulnerable time in the beginning of your business.
Exactly. And, you know, this is just an advice. I always say in the beginning, you know, don't go and spend 20K on something because you have no idea really in the beginning.
Yeah.
Just start small, but go on the feeling. Like, really, if you really vibe with someone, if you feel like you trust them and you really love their content, you just like everything, just go with somebody that feels intimate, that feels trusting, and learn from them. And then when you are starting creating more money in your business, that's when you can go for your more higher mentorship, higher, you know, coaching, more high ticket sort of investment, because it's very valid as well, like, you know, but it's not valid in the beginning, I wouldn't say.
Yeah.
Because in the beginning, you want to just feel safe and have a place and, you know, ask questions.
And that's, I agree. And that's why I know for me, I've created my starter programs at affordable prices, because I know as a new coach, I remember that like fear of, one, just even saying yes and actually doing it, but then having to invest in something where I didn't even know what I wanted to really, like, I didn't even know what I wanted to, all I did was have this sort of pull. So like to drop 20K when you don't even really know what you want.
It's not the right thing. No. And I think we need to be transparent in coaching and say, look, you will always invest because you have to, but in the beginning, it needs to feel affordable to where you're at. Maybe you're still already in, you know, in your old job.
Yeah.
You know, you're not going to be able to spend 10 hours or 20 hours a week learning a new program when you're still working. And if you've got kids and everything, it has to be a soft transition.
Yeah.
I don't recommend cold feet and go crazy and burn out. I don't think it's a good way.
No,
more of a softer, introduction. So memberships and, you know, 3-month programs and things like that are great for the beginners, I'd say.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. I love this. I love this conversation. Jenny, thank you so much for being here and sharing your wisdom and your light and the dark and all the things with everybody here. If you guys are feeling the pull, make sure you check out Jenny. You're on Instagram as well too, right?
I'm on Instagram as well. I'm on TikTok, Jenny Lyon Activator on there. It's always a Jenny Lyon in it, so you'll find me.
And you'll send me all the links, so I'll make sure those all go in the show notes. So please check her out. And Jenny, thank you so much for being here. This was such a fun conversation, and I know it's going to help a lot of people.
Thank you.